In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you ever see advertisements that say a product is new and improved? Toothpaste, mouthwash, deodorant. Every few years, each brand gets new and improved. Were we all walking around with bad breath and smelling like dirty sweat socks before because what we was using was old and inferior, maybe ancient and rotten, the products, not us? The slogan, new and improved, must work because advertisers keep using it and we keep buying products that are new and improved. Does religion need to get new and improved? Is our faith old and inferior? Our churches ancient and rotten? A lot of people think the German Protestant Reformation of the 16th century, of which we are heirs, was an effort to make the church new and improved. It was not. Luther and the Reformers were trying to recover what had been lost. They were going back to basics, back to the Bible, reclaiming the gospel. They stated quite clearly that it was not their desire to create anything new. They weren't trying to tear down the old church and build a new one. They just wanted to shore up the foundation and fill in the cracks. Luther loved a good debate. He wrote quite polemically, and he never shied away from being critical of the enemies of the gospel. Today, we're not as quite as in your face as Luther was, and our preaching tends to be more tolerant than polite. As a pastor, I liken myself to a sheepdog, whose duty it is to protect the flock from heresy and falsehood. I would much rather preach a gentle, comforting message, but sometimes the sheepdog has to bark out an alarm and a call to action because the wolf is coming. That's what I hope to do today, and especially to reveal the truths that we believe. A concern about a particular movement in many churches was first brought to me by one of our members. He's done quite a bit of research on the topic, and I'm indebted to him for a number of insights. The movement is a wolf in sheep's clothing. The movement is attempting to do something completely new and different. It is a movement that uses traditional religious words and concepts but gives them new meanings contrary to what they really mean. They call themselves the New Apostolic Reformation, or NAR for short. NAR talks about Reformation, but it is nothing like the Reformation that Martin Luther advocated. The friend of mine calls them the New Apostolic Revolution. They want to overturn the Bible and all of the church's teachings as we know them. They preach a false gospel, a gospel not focused on Christ, but focused instead on human beings. The problem the NAR is causing has been discussed by several of the mainline churches for the past few years, and now I'm starting to hear more and more about it in Lutheran circles. The public spokesmen for the NAR movement all seem like friendly, faithful, competent guys. They are not wild-eyed, disheveled, raving lunatics. They are all well-dressed and well-spoken with impressive credentials. In every way, they seem so sincere and nice. Unfortunately, sincerity and niceness are not measures of the truth. Using Hitler as an example is just so cliche. But I recall seeing a video interview with a woman who knew Hitler personally. She said that he was the friendliest, wittiest, most charming man she had ever met. And she was shocked when she found out after the war what he was really like. Don't let a snake charm you. Music is one way that the NAR get their false ideas into the church. Music is so powerful. I might not be able to tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can remember all the words to a song that I heard 50 years ago. And I'm sure that's true for many of you too. And do you ever wake up with a certain song stuck in your head that you can't stop hearing? Some people call that an earworm. The NAR creates a lot of contemporary Christian music. People who like that kind of music generally say that the instrumentation is pretty good. And at first glance, the lyrics might seem good too. But often a close inspection of the world reveals lines here and there that are not quite right, that are not really what the Bible teaches. You don't want a heresy earworm. It's much safer to stick to the music that we know teaches the Bible's truth. And that leads us to one of, if not the biggest issue, the NAR Bible. The NAR has its own version of the Bible called the Passion Bible. A good Bible translation goes back to the original Hebrew and Greek sources and tries to render them in English in as faithful a way as possible to the actual wording. The Passion Bible takes English translation and rewrites them in the most passionate, that is, the most emotional way. Emotion sells. To do that, they have no problem adding words or even whole sentences to the Bible. My friend calls it the Passion Book because it's really not a Bible at all. What the NAR calls the Bible is not the Bible. The New Testament, as we have it, was written by the apostles, like Matthew and John, or close associates of the apostles, like Mark and Luke, as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. We respect some of the writings of Martin Luther and the other reformers to be accurate teachings based on the Bible, but we don't add them to the Bible or give them the same authority. No matter how great a sermon I might preach, if you write to the LCMS headquarters in St. Louis and say, "Eric Ash really hit it out of the park on this one, please include this in all future editions of the Bible," they won't. They shouldn't. The canon, the list of books that compromise the Bible, is closed. The Christian faith has been delivered once and for all to the saints in God's word. But the NAR disagrees. The leaders of the NAR claim to be apostles with the same power and authority as the 12 apostles Christ chose. That's where they get the apostolic in their name. They feel that they can create the Passion Book because they have the right and power to embellish, to add to, or even overturn Holy Scripture. In the Creed, we rightly confess that we are part of the Apostolic Church. By that, we mean that we believe and teach what the 12 apostles believed and taught, just as it is found in the Bible. Sure, churches need leadership. You might call those who have a ministry of oversight today, like the apostles did in Bible times. Today we might call them bishops or presidents. But we wouldn't dare put ourselves on par with Peter and Paul, and we wouldn't sell apostleship the way the NAR does. Martin Luther talked about Christians being like little Christ to one another. He meant we should love one another as Christ loved us, serve one another as Christ served us, and pray for one another as Jesus prayed for us. The NAR takes Jesus' words in John about Christians doing even greater work than himself to an extreme and unwarranted level. What Jesus meant was that living under the limitations he accepted as a human being in first century Israel, his good news could only be proclaimed so far. Once he died, rose, and ascended, his followers, led by the Holy Spirit, could take the gospel to the whole world. The NAR takes Jesus to mean that Christians can have, should have, will have God-like power to perform miracles. Maybe you heard the news story a while back about a little girl who died, and her congregation, under the influence of the NAR, put her body in their sanctuary for several days and prayed over it. They told the world that they were going to resurrect her because they had the power of Christ. Didn't work, of course. And the world got more ammunition to make their case that Christians are fools and liars. And can you imagine the trauma that that child's family must have went through? Still, the NAR says it will convert the world to their religion by the miracles they will perform. It's sobering to note that in the Revelation, the beast tries to convert the faithful away from God with signs, miracles, and wonders. Don't be fooled. Whether the NAR is just another flash in the pan heresy or a portent of much worse things to come, it's obvious that they are not following what the Revelation teaches. In the Revelation, we see the world spiraling downward with war, famine, disease, and death, only to be rescued by Christ's dramatic, decisive intervention. The NAR sees the end of time as we know it, with them being triumphant over evil and gradually building a better world until they give a perfected world over to Christ as a gift. No one else sees that in the Revelation. It's just not there. So, what do we Lutheran Christians do? The solas of the Reformation, the alones of the Reformation, instruct us. We look to Christ alone, in faith alone, for the salvation which comes from his grace alone, that we read about in Holy Scripture alone, and for that we give glory to God alone. Should God be gracious, and those tricked by the NAR flee it and look for faithful teaching, let's be ready to receive them with the true Bible, with the miracle of Christ present in word and sacrament, and not with phony, new, and improved hogwash, but with the genuine, tried and true apostolic teaching, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.